The commander-in-chief wants everyone to get out and back to work. New York's governor says Trump should lead by example.
First of all, if he's sitting home watching TV, maybe he should get up and go to work, right?
I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro.
I'm Scott Simon, and this is Up First from NPR News. States are navigating the coronavirus pandemic individually and in groups. We've got the latest on who's moving toward opening back up, when and how.
And it's all about testing, testing, testing. Is there capacity for it now? The White House says yes, but there are doubts.
And we know they'll be testing for a while, so we have a look at what technologies are on the way.
So stay with us. We'll give you the news you need to start your weekend.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from BetterHelp, online counseling by licensed professional counselors specializing in isolation, depression, stress, and anxiety. Visit betterhelp.com/upfirst to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
President Trump says it will be up to governors to decide when their states will begin loosening restrictions aimed at preventing the spread of the coronavirus.
Some are now taking small steps in that direction, such as Texas. Here's Governor Greg Abbott.
Texas has the second most recoveries from COVID-19 of all states in America. We have demonstrated that we can corral the coronavirus.
NPR's Greg Allen has been looking at the plans in various states. Greg, thanks for being with us.
Sure, Scott.
What does Governor Abbott propose?
Well, actually fairly modest steps. Some of these we're seeing other states look at as well. He's allowing state parks to reopen, for instance, and that's something we've seen in Mississippi and Utah. Also, starting next Friday, he says he'll allow non-essential retailers to reopen for the first time since the pandemic began. You know, that's clothing stores, bookstores, other boutiques, and they can open for pickup and delivery only. We're seeing that in places also like Mississippi, Idaho, and Vermont. They're doing that. Also next week, Texas is going to allow hospitals to resume some elective medical procedures for the first time since the pandemic. In Texas, Governor Abbott says hospitals say they have plenty of capacity, and the decision about which procedures will be allowed will depend on a hospital being able to guarantee the state that it has enough PPEs on hand, you know, gowns, masks, and the like. Mm-hmm. And there's that's something that other states are also looking at because, you know, hospitals have been holding beds open, and many of them are losing revenue and have been laying off staff as a result.
What do they say about the risk of another round of infections, though?
Well, it's a major concern, of course. The governors I've heard all insist that safeguarding health will be the top priority and will remain so as they discuss loosening restrictions. In Texas, there's this large strike force that's making recommendations about next steps, and it includes the state's top health official and three other respected doctors from, you know, Texas institutions. But it also includes a lot of business people. Governor Abbott says he hopes to roll out a second round of measures to reopen the economy later this month. But to do that, he says his state is going to need a lot more testing available, and that's so health workers can isolate new cases as they're discovered and do contact tracing to prevent this second wave of infections that everybody's worried about.
Is that testing available?
Well, there's really not enough testing available yet, and that's been the source of a lot of tension in the last few days between President Trump and governors, especially Democratic governors. He's been sniping back and forth with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo over that. The states say they need more federal help in ramping up testing, and President says, well, that's the job of the states. And yesterday, he sent out tweets encouraging protesters who've been rallying in these states like Michigan, Minnesota, and Virginia. These are protesters who've been out calling on governors there to drop restrictions and allow businesses to reopen. In Florida and Texas, the Republican governors there say that they're confident they will have tests available soon. And in the meantime, they're making plans to reopen.
Stay-at-home orders are in place in the meantime, though.
Right. And all but just a handful of states, three or four states, have them in place till the end of the month. Some, like New York, extend them into May. Texas is talking about possibly lifting these stay-at-home restrictions at the end of the month. But that gets back to the question about whether there's enough testing available. And even in Texas, there's no sign schools are going to be reopening anytime soon. They'll be closed for the rest of the school year, Governor Abbott says, and a decision about when they will reopen may come sometime over the summer.
NPR's Greg Allen, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
President Trump has been optimistic this week that the country is turning a corner on the coronavirus.
Every day we're getting closer to the future that we all have been waiting for. I talk about the light at the end of the tunnel. We are getting very, very close to seeing that light shine very brightly at the end of that tunnel.
The White House has issued guidelines for states to start reopening, but public health experts, senators, and governors say the U.S. doesn't have enough testing capacity now to safely get back to business.
And despite strict social distancing guidelines still in place, Vice President Mike Pence is headed to Colorado today for an Air Force graduation.
NPR White House correspondent Franco Ordonez is traveling with him. Franco, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be here.
And how are the president and his coronavirus team responding to the criticism that as quickly as testing may have ramped up, it just still isn't nearly enough?
Well, the team acknowledged there are doubts about testing, and they've tried to address them. First, yesterday in a call with senators that actually went awry, according to reports from our sources, and then at yesterday's briefing. At the briefing, the Trump team went to great pains to show how they say there is actually enough testing capacity for states to begin to reopen. They actually had President Trump leave the room and the scientists took over, going point by point with their plans to address these gaps between testing capacity sitting idle and hospitals and states that really need them. But this was really a poorly timed briefing happening late yesterday, Friday afternoon, which is, you know, really a black hole for news. And there's still a lot of unanswered questions, such as what about phase two?
The president also faced questions over his tweets, where he said several states with Democratic governors and stay-at-home orders should be, quote, liberated. What did he have to say?
Yeah, President Trump appeared to be encouraging protests of social distancing restrictions in some states. He was asked about this yesterday, and he defended those tweets. He indicated that he sympathized with some of these protesters, saying measures in some states have been, quote, too tough. And he dismissed questions about whether he was concerned the protesters could actually be spreading the coronavirus themselves.
As we noted, you're traveling with Vice President Pence to Colorado today for an Air Force Academy graduation, the kind of trip that would have been pretty routine before this crisis, but it's the first time he's traveled in more than a month. How's it going to work, given the social distancing guidelines?
Right. Vice President Pence was actually set to deliver the speech via a video message, but he announced earlier this week that he would instead be traveling to Colorado Springs to deliver his remarks in person. The Academy is taking several measures to protect the graduates. The ceremony will not be open to the public, and friends and family will also not be able to attend. They will be able to watch via a live stream. President Trump actually said he also planned to watch the live feed.
Oh, I think it's great. I think it's great. If he's going to make the commencement, I hear they're going to have a very spread out crowd.
Yes, sir.
They're going to be, I will say, they are going to be socially very good. They're going to be very far apart.
They will keep some traditions. The U.S. Air Force's aerial team, the Thunderbirds, will fly over the ceremony when cadets throw up their white hats in the air.
NPR's White House correspondent Franco Ordonez, and for lots more politics, be sure to download the NPR Politics podcast.
There are already several different kinds of tests available to detect the virus that causes COVID-19, and researchers are working on more.
They want to make them cheaper and easier to use. NPR's Joe Palca joins us now. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And what are scientists doing?
Well, there are several teams of scientists who are talking about using a tool called CRISPR. You might remember CRISPR. It's sort of took the biological world by storm. It's a technique for altering genetic material in living cells. But it can also be used to identify genetic material in viruses. And that's what they're talking about using it here.
And what are the advantages of a CRISPR-based system?
Well, the advantages are that you can do it fast and you can do it cheap. And right now, the gold standard test for detecting the virus is something called PCR, polymerase chain reaction, and that requires a rather large machine. And even the smaller machines that are made by some of the diagnostic companies still require special equipment that can be expensive. And the other thing about the CRISPR test is it doesn't use some of the chemicals that have been reported to be in short supply. Apparently, the ones for CRISPR are a lot more plentiful.
What else is in the testing pipeline?
Well, interestingly enough, the tests that are being done now for viral infection look for the virus itself, which is makes sense. But I talked to a virologist named Sarah Sawyer from the University of Colorado, and she has a very different approach. She says, think about the 5 days or so between the time you actually get infected to the time you start experiencing symptoms.
The virus is beginning to establish a factory where it can produce many more copies of itself. And so while that's happening, cells are responding.
And she says essentially those cells respond and they kind of give off a signal that says, hey, I've been infected by a virus. This isn't good. And they start putting out these protein factors. And those cells are at the back of the throat and in the nose. And so Sawyer thinks that the chemical signals from those cells wind up in your saliva, and she thinks she can make a test that will measure these signals.
We think saliva is kind of the key to moving these tests out of the doctor's office, because we're not going to draw our own blood every morning, but we can spit in the cup.
That would be a lot easier. How far along is she in developing this test?
Well, she was working on a different approach somewhat. She had gotten a grant to or a contract from the Department of Defense to look for any kind of viral infection. And of course, when COVID-19 came along, she tweaked the program to look specifically for the indication of COVID-19 infection. So she's about to start, or she wants to start, a clinical trial that will test a lot of people and see who goes on to develop symptoms and whether or not she can predict that's the case or not.
And the CRISPR test that you began by mentioning, do we know when they'll be available?
Well, the one that was developed at the University of California, San Francisco, is built, and it's supposedly going for FDA approval next week, or at least emergency use authorization. And then the company says they'll start using it for testing in California and try and get it out to other labs as soon as they can.
NPR's Joe Palca, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And that's Up First for Saturday, April 18th, 2020. I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro.
I'm Scott Simon. Up First is back on Monday with the news you need to start your day. In the meantime, you can follow us at Up First on Twitter.
Keep checking this podcast feed for special episodes and tune into Weekend Edition on your radio.
Saturday and Sunday, find your NPR station at stations.npr.org.
In the United States, Black people as a whole have less access to good health care, to education, and job opportunities than other groups. But who do we even mean when we say Black people? Who counts as Black? It's a question this country has been trying to answer from the very beginning. Listen on NPR's Code Switch podcast.